From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from the Cheesehead TV podcast studio in New York City. Corey joins us from Green Bay, Wisconsin, across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we take stock of the 2023 Green Bay Packers and look ahead to the opening week showdown with the Chicago Bears. But right now, it's time for the preseason edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
three undrafted dudes making the team. Congratulations, guys.
We got the bad. We got
interior O-line depth. Yikes.
We got the ugly. We got
Carlson's missed kicks, especially those extra points in Cincinnati. Woo! U-G-L-Y. They ain't got no alibi. They were ugly. Corey Banky, how are you? Good to see you, brother. How's Green Bay?
It's great. Loving it. Missing the farmer's market right now. I'm going to be going over there right after this show.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. If you're in the Green Bay area, check out the farmer's market. It's awesome, and Corey's always there. Make sure you say hi to him if you see him out and about. Corey, it's good to be talking some Packers with you again. We haven't been able to discuss anything pretty much since our camp opening kickoff version of Transplants. It's been like, what, a month?
That was a while ago.
And we're on the precipice of the season. Let's go, Banky. You know how we roll. We got to start with the hotness. Let's do it. Let's kick it off. Let's do it. It's time for the hotness. There were plenty of plays to choose from this preseason when it comes to the hotness. But I got to go with Emmanuel Wilson's 80-yard touchdown run. Let's take a look at this. I mean, this young man made the squad. They carried three running backs, and this kid exploded onto the scene. What was great was that you and I were at Stadium View with Matt Ramage and a bunch of other Packers fans, and the place went absolutely insane. Look at him here. He's saying, where would you leave your jock right there? I'm going around the edge, and I'm turning on the afterburners. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Emmanuel Wilson announcing his presence with authority. That, ladies and gentlemen, was the hotness of the preseason. Like I said, there were plenty of other plays, obviously, but I love this story of this young man. Yeah, absolutely love to see it.
It's kind of crazy. A lot of people were kind of surprised that they went with Wilson over Taylor even after those spectacular plays. And even after he had some, you know, good work, the thinking kind of was, oh, are they just holding Patrick Taylor because they know what Patrick Taylor can do for them? But no, one of the surprises of camp that he beat Taylor in camp. I was surprised by it. I mean, you know, you watch him in preseason and he looked better, but, you know, I'm not watching practice every day like some of those guys. So, you know, it was interesting. I don't think a lot of people pegged him to make the team, to be honest with you.
I'm right there with you. I thought, given all the conversation around the third running back spot and the need to do everything else, not just run the football, but be not only a stalwart in the passing game catching the ball, but being able to stick your nose in there and pass protection, know the assignments cold and all those. But like you said, he improved as the summer went on. He did show off some kind of ability there against the Seahawks in that final preseason game, and they clearly love him as a runner. So I'm excited. And look, I think Patrick Taylor will still contribute. I think he's on the practice squad with all the rules around your ability to bring guys up from the practice squad throughout the season. I think we'll see him intermittently here as the season rolls on. Let's get to some Packers news, shall we, Corey? Now that we've had our hotness. Time to eat our vegetables and start with probably the most downer note possible. Romeo Dobbs and Christian Watson did not practice today. Both young wide receivers dealing with hamstring injuries, which you never want to hear. Heading into week one, soft tissue injuries, hamstrings do tend to linger. You hate to hear it. So we'll see. I don't know what this portends for their potential availability against the Bears on Sunday, but whoo, baby, that is suboptimal, Corey.
Not good. Yeah, definitely not good.
No, I'm not about that life. On the flip side, however, on the defensive side of the ball, Darnell Savage, who didn't practice last Thursday, and Campbell, who has been dealing with an ankle slash foot injury, were both back at practice. That, you know, obviously bodes well for their involvement against the Bears on Sunday. Good news, especially with Savage in that safety position. At least have somebody out there who knows the scheme and has played in the NFL a little bit longer. Savage will most likely be out there, along with Rashawn Gary, who is listed as a limited participant, but was also practicing today. Sure feels and sounds like all kind of bets are on that he will be out there Sunday against the Bears, which obviously is a huge boon to the pass rush, to the Packers defense in general. And hey, with that news earlier today, literally about an hour ago, that the 49ers have backed up the Brinks truck for Nick Bosa. You know, Rashawn wants to get out there and show what he can do and show that he's worthy of a contract. Maybe not quite that level, but the market is set. Let's say that. And Gary's ready to reap those rewards, hopefully. And then finally, we got Eric Stokes on the PUP. I don't think anyone's really surprised by this, given that the nature of his two injuries that he suffered in Detroit last year, very, very severe. I mean, the gentleman had to use a wheelchair for a little while when he first kind of got out of surgery. Packers act obviously being very, very, you know, high side of caution here. He'll miss the first month. He'll miss at least the first four games. And then we'll hopefully get him out there at practice and he'll be back five or six games into the season. But yeah, you would have liked to have gotten him out there early in the year. There's no doubt about it. But better to be safe than sorry, as they like to say. Corey, did you know that the officiating crews have been named for the games on Sunday?
Yeah, I saw on Zebra. I didn't know the guy that we got.
Football Zebras.
They did those little like Twitter cards. Yeah, they did little Twitter cards for all the
Craig
games.
Craig Rolstead. It's so funny you should say that. I believe we have that Twitter card. Craig Rolstead will officiate Packers Bears. There he is.
Yeah,
look at
that
gentleman. He looks trustworthy, doesn't he? Well, fun fact, he officiated the Week 2 game against these two teams in Lambeau last year with he and his crew throwing way more flags against the Bears than they did against the Packers. So we'll see if that hometown cooking transfers to Chicago or if he keeps calling it in the Packers' favor. It'll be fun to track that. Speaking of fun, Corey, this is our final news item. I know you're going to love this. The Green Bay Packers have bought Fomation, the makers of the original Cheesehead. You can now get a Cheesehead and various other things in the Packers Pro Shop.
You could
Fomation.
To be fair, you could always get Cheeseheads. Well, in the last 5 years or so, you could get Cheesehead TV.
Right.
You could get Cheeseheads at the Pro Shop because they were a reseller. I believe they became the largest reseller of Fomation gear, which led them to be like, oh, well, we've got the market on this. And yeah, I've in the past 13 or so years, how many years has it been? I can't even count it.
16?
Anymore. Yeah, 16, holy crap. 16 years. Could have a teenager in that time. You did have a teenager at that time.
I had a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah. I've had to be on this receiving end of some Fomation lawyers before. It's happened in my life, I believe. Back in the day.
With a website called Cheesehead TV. I can't imagine.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is I think it was, from what I remember, it was we had the Cheesehead inside of a TV as our logo.
That's right.
And the issue was how many holes that the holes in the cheese.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about this.
They lined up similarly. And so there was going to be the problem wasn't that we were Cheesehead TV, because obviously that's a separate thing than Cheesehead and trademark law is just crazy.
Right.
But the issue was that the cheese that we use for our design matched up too closely to the Cheesehead. So there you go. little Packers history for you.
A little history lesson for you.
when I'm at the podium and Ed Policy is announcing that he has purchased Cheesehead TV, I will definitely be telling that story.
That is an all-timer. And I had totally forgotten about that.
I mean, I'm assuming
now,
Aaron Popke is going to... It's going to be Aaron Popke. It's going to be Ed policy because Mark will have left. And, you know, it's going to be potentially the governor of Wisconsin. That'd be nice because it'll be some other announcement. We'll be like
Could
the
you
side
imagine?
Announcement.
Right, right, right. Obviously, well, not the headliner. Although it'd be hilarious just to get that alert. Green Bay Packers acquire TV.
I don't even know if they'll do a press conference. Kind of in the mantra of the Packers' relationship with Cheesehead TV, they'll be like,
yeah,
you know what?
Yeah.
No, you know what they'll do is they'll make Jeff Blum run the press conference. That's what I'm going to do. That's going to be my request. My request when we do that is I'm going to be like, Aaron Popke, can you please have Jeff Blum do this press conference? Because you know Jeff Blum, he's a freelancer. He's a freelance PR guy now. We'll and then I'm going to write a script for Jeff. I'm going to write a script for Jeff where he has to say how he knew that Cheesehead TV was going to be this amazing thing. And it's going to be great. I've already got it in my head. It's a fantasy movie in my head that's happened many times.
All right. We're going to get off of fantasy and get back to reality and get back to some football here. Let's talk about this offense, shall we? Corey, I know you're excited, and now everyone's freaking out because it's like, oh, they don't have any wide receivers. Like, people, relax, okay? Just relax. That's all I got to say.
Not worried about that.
You know why? We got Aaron Jones in the backfield, people. It's Aaron Jones' time. It is time for Aaron Jones. It's time for Aaron Jones to become the workhorse he was always meant to be. I'm really excited. Hey, look, you don't have to go very far on the internet, much less Cheesehead TV, to find people saying, give Aaron Jones the ball. Right, like that has been the mantra here and other places for the last few years, I would say. And I know there's a lot made about the former quarterback and audibles and things at the line of scrimmage and all that. And that's all out the window now. It is time for Aaron Jones. It is time for him to ascend to the superstar status that he is beyond deserving of. And it's so funny to me. I was on the radio with my good buddies over there at 97.3 The Game, Zabe and Brian Butch, and Butch was talking about, this was right after the news came out about the Jonathan Taylor talks, trade, whatever, and he was saying how so much better Jonathan Taylor was, and I was like, this is a perfect example of how Aaron Jones just gets disrespected because the Packers don't use him a lot. Now, I understand it's because they're trying to keep him going for the long term. They want to make sure he's available in December as well as September, etc. I understand all that. But you can still use him in a way that is efficient on offense, keeps him healthy, use AJ as your kind of sub when he needs a blow, whatever. But, man, Aaron Jones just gets disrespected, even by Packers fans. It kind of blows my mind.
It's true.
Like, I don't think people understand just how good he is. In fact, Nicole, do we have – I don't think I put a Q in here, but there might be – if I'm looking right here, there might be a image from Packers history here that I uploaded but didn't use a cue on. Do you see it there, Nicole? All right, maybe not. All right. Well, he is set to become an insanely productive back, even past the level that we're used to, right? Past the level of, like, you've seen people tweet it out or, like, talk about it, like, how efficient he is, how much better the offense is when he's out there. Like, this year, he is going to join rarefied air. Like, he's going to become... maybe not the all-time yardage leader because they don't use him that way, but he'll probably be, and he'll end up leading the Packers in a boatload of categories, both running the football, yards per carry, scoring, all sorts of metrics that hopefully
over Amon Green
start to get him into the conversation. Well, that's the thing. Probably not yardage, which is where Amon leads, right? Because he was a workhorse back and he was used as such. But man, the guy is so good. The guy is so good. And hopefully
he really is.
He finally gets to showcase it. Finally gets to showcase it.
I mean, knowing the Packers, I doubt it, though. I really doubt it. I hate to tell you.
Exactly.
Like, Dobbs is out and Watson is out. Oh, we got these beautiful tight ends we have to try out, you know? And there's like
we
got to
throw it around the yard, right?
So, also, guys, you know, also, I mean, the guy that I think, I think this might be what we're going to talk about next, but the guy that I think a lot of people are really excited, you know, that got in on the roster, wide receiver, that I'm really excited about being on the roster.
Oh, Malik Heath?
Malik Heath, our undrafted kid? Holy crap, talk about, you know, the your Rudy player, you know, your guy who
right.
has kind of almost no for. Business getting in and gets on effort. And I mean, mm-hmm. think about that. The one play that you just, that I think about that first preseason game, right? Off the field, he gets yep. on the sideline yep. and keeps pushing. And like, it's just like, okay,
the blocking,
Malik Heath, yep, yep. welcome to the NFL. Let's go. And like, he has shown that he can play at a high level, and I'm excited for him to get some reps too if those guys are out.
Well, and that's the whole thing, right? Like the idea that Watson and Dobbs may be down. Well, okay, now it's time to justify all that excitement around Malik Heath, right? Like there's a reason they kept him. There's a reason he's on the 53, and he's going to get a chance possibly to show why he's on the 53 right out of the gate. And I'm not sitting here telling you he's going to be Christian Watson and Romeo Dobbs. No one is. I get it. But, man, here's an opportunity for this young man. And he just keeps making plays. He keeps taking steps forward. And there may be another opportunity for him on Sunday. We don't know yet. This is still early in the week. But, man, what a story. What a great kind of ascension. And it's one of those things, like, all offseason, on Daily, we talked about it. And it's like, okay, he's doing it in shorts and T-shirts. Let's see what happens when the pads come on. And then the pads come on, and he keeps doing it. And then it's like, okay, yep. let's see what happens in a preseason game. And then to your point, he absolutely owns people in a preseason game, both in the blocking aspect of things, but also there was that play over the middle against the Patriots that, you know, Clifford had no business throwing. And Heath just goes up and makes a play in the middle of like four dudes. Like you talk about want to and grit and absolutely going to make sure that everyone knows that is your ball and you're going to go get it. I love the kid's attitude. I love that he's on the team. I don't love that he might have to showcase early, but hey,
no,
there's a reason he's on the 53.
Well, and I also don't think that, you know, given our offense right now, I just don't think that we have established any kind of, you know, brand. And so
identity,
anybody can
right.
plug in yeah. anywhere, right? So it's like,
right. Well, it's yeah,
it's anybody's game,
up,
right?
How you it,
besides
them,
Jordan,
yeah.
yeah, besides Jordan and right. the O-line, it's anybody's game, and it's up for grabs, and in a good way, because I don't think people can game plan against us right now. As long as our O-line holds up, you know, there's going to be some very, very interesting,
yeah.
You know, miscellaneous well. Things that we didn't even think about at training camp that we're going to see this year. That's what I'm excited about. It's like you get training camp, right?
right?
And you get excited about these kids. And, you know, some of them make the team, some of them don't. You kind of get depressed. Some of them get picked up by other teams. Others don't. They get on the practice squad.
Right.
And you're kind of like, okay, this is the team we have. But in years past, we had an identity. So, you know, we were always talking about 15 players on the bubble, really, kind of, you know, maybe 10.
Right, right.
But now, like, you know, we have a team that doesn't really have an identity. We have a team that, you know, yeah, it's in the mold of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre and the quarterbacks that came before them. But who knows what this offense is going to be? I don't know that Matt LaFleur has shown us what this offense is truly going to be this season.
No, not even close. I mean, it's all install stuff in the preseason games. Like, it's all very, very basic, and we don't know. But, Corey, to your point, it is about the offensive line holding up. Because I think if it does, then, yeah, Jordan can probably operate the offense, hopefully with the pieces that are out there, whoever they might be. Big component about – a big part of that, though, is Josh Myers, the center, who had a very inconsistent season last year, was in a battle for the job with Zach Tom throughout the summer. But it sure looks like they've settled on Josh being the center and Zach Tom being the right tackle, though that's – you know, not quite official until they take the field on Sunday, but that is certainly how the depth chart on the website has shaken out. And sure looks like Josh is going to get a chance to get out of the gate here at center. He's got to find that consistency, because you do see plenty of plays where he is excellent, and even stretches where he plays at a high level. But it's so funny. I was watching the Bears game in Chicago from last year, and sure enough, there it is on a third down. They try to run on a third and two. How many times are we yelling about run the ball in short yardage, run the ball? Well, they try, and Josh gets absolutely whipped up front by some no-name defensive tackle. You know, it's like it can't happen. You got to be able to be consistent at that position in both facets of the game. I'm really hoping this is the year. He's still a very young player. Really hope he finds that consistency, because like I said, you see it. You see the potential. You see stretches where he plays extremely well. But then there are just these odd times and weird moments where he just gets whipped up front and over kind of powered and maybe just out muscled. And it's to the Packers' detriment. And they can't
just
have
wish
it. They want to get where they want.
It's just too bad that Brian doesn't give a shit about centers. It's just too bad, to be honest with you.
Well,
because if Brian cared about
Josh where he wanted. He wouldn't have drafted Josh where he did if he didn't care about center. I know where you're going with this.
He doesn't care.
I know what you're trying to do here.
If he cared about centers, then we could have potentially. There's two people in the last 3 years that could have got us to the promised land that we were missing. One of them is still on our team, and one of them is not. That's all I'm going to say about that. And if you can't figure it out, then I can't help you.
I can't help you. Like,
and one of them is not Josh Myers, okay? Well, Josh Myers is not. And also, like,
I feel that,
you know, he had the bad snap in preseason, right? It wasn't Zach Tom.
Yeah.
Was it?
Well, no, it was his snap. It's hard to call it a bad snap
because
he's trying to catch the guy off sides. And Jordan just wasn't ready for it. They're just not on the same page. It's a fine snap.
Dude, it was way over his head. It's way over his head.
It was off to the side. It was hardly over his head. If Jordan's ready for it, he catches it.
I don't like it. But if you're gonna have
that's
a bad
why you
snap,
have preseason game.
That's why you have preseason.
That's why you have preseason. That's why you have practice. Exactly.
I really didn't like it. How about okay? No, I'm not gonna go there because it's a tangent. But there's this guy on the Ringer, and I can't believe no one has been giving this guy shit yet. He literally he's a basketball podcaster for the Ringer. Okay. And he literally said that the Buffaloes were going to be completely trash. Okay. And wouldn't be able to hold a candle at TCU. And there's this stuff going on TikTok, but I don't see anybody trashing him on Twitter because, like, he did the opposite of what Pat McAfee did. But anyway, I still can't believe people doubt on Deion Sanders. And I know we're not talking about that right now, but I'm just saying, I cannot believe. Football fans of any shape, that you can tell who's a football fan when they is and who isn't a football fan when they doubt somebody like Deion Sanders is going to be good at whatever he does. You know what I mean? If Deion Sanders was a Wall Street trader, I would put all my money with him because he'd be good at it. Like, whatever that guy does is going to be good. And it's just funny to me. Like, football pedigree matters. Like, it's just funny to me. Anyway. I know that's not about Josh Myers, but this Josh Myers conversation is boring me because Josh Myers, get your shit together. God damn it.
We are so back. I love it. Finally on offense.
I mean, all the good is Deion, though? How good is Deion, though? Come on, come on.
He's very good.
I don't even like college football, and what he did last Saturday.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
Has anybody done anything like? Has anybody changed?
No,
this is why I love that there's hope. This is why I think, and this goes. This is how I'm going to tie it to the Packers. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
We did not rotate all 80 fucking players. Okay. We did not do that. Right. Deion did that. I mean, what has he got? Yep. Two guys? Five guys? I don't even know. Right. But Matt, there's hope for us because of that. Like, that's what I'm trying to tie it to. It's like Matt has this opportunity to get everybody back on the same page, and there's no divas, and there's nobody in our way, and we can do that. And so I'm kind of excited about it. And I just feel like, I don't know, I actually think you can't overrate what Deion did last weekend. Even if they're shit the rest of the season, which they're not going to be. I mean, how incredible is that guy? How incredible is that?
He's amazing.
I just think it's incredible.
People forget.
I just think it's incredible.
People forget because it's been so long since he played. You know, like he in the internet age, right? It's like when people used to talk about Brett Favre and all the interceptions. It's like, yeah, but do you remember 95 through 97 when he was winning MVPs? It's like, do you remember that Deion literally played both ways in the NFL at a high level, played baseball at a high level? It's like the man is like anything he's done. He's been incredible.
He's done broadcasting. Look at him as a broadcaster, right? Like him and I don't really like Michael Irvin as a broadcaster, but I get why he's so good and I understand how talented he is. But Deion, he's not just a shit talker. He's just this incredible human being that I think people just there's something about him that people just overlook. It's just crazy. Like I was watching this one thing and somebody was saying, like, what other coach would allow a player to play both sides. Only a coach like Deion, right? Any other coach is worried about his livelihood or worried about something. And, like, there's just something about that guy that is incredible. He's going to go down in history as one of the greatest NFL college football pedigree guys. Like, he's one of those guys that's like some of the players in the 50s and in the 40s, you know. He's a 1940s football player. Like, that's in, like, he's a Don Hudson. He's a transcendent Don Hudson type player. He's just, he's incredible. Anyway, I digress. I know. I've been on this deep. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I don't even watch college football, and I was like, wait, they did what? What? And like, it's now all over my TikTok now. Like, it's in my TikTok feed now. And so it's funny because everything I see is Deion, like Deion all the time, and I'm not getting sick of it. So I wish Deion.
Dude,
I wish
you
Deion.
Are, you are.
Dude, Deion should. What if Deion became the coach of the Green Bay Packers in 10 years?
No.
That's where he's going. He's going to become an NFL coach, bro.
Here's what's crazy. The Cowboys.
What's crazy. Check this out, okay? His son goes to the NFL. Mm-hmm. And he becomes the coach wherever his son goes, and then coaches his son at that level.
I could totally see it happening.
And what if he got Jerry? This sucks. Okay, I don't like this narrative, and I don't want to live in this alternate reality. But what if Jerry's going to draft him, right? So Jerry drafts him, and then he hires Deion, and Deion gets him his first ring in 30 years.
In 400 years, yes. I don't want to live in that reality either. Because I think that's going to happen.
I think there's a really strong likelihood of that happening, by the way.
Yeah, but at that point, Jerry's going to be like 100 years old. It'll be fun. He'll be able to watch it.
So Jerry's grandkids will get the thing. I just think this guy has no ceiling. This guy has never met a ceiling he couldn't break through, and that's incredible. He's an incredible human being. Anyway.
Well, other than building up a HBCU squad, but well, that's neither here nor there. I mean, he did kind of.
What do you mean? He took a lot of them with him.
Some of them, yeah. Got a lot of people to commit, though, and then left. You know, a lot of people believed in him in that regard, and then he left them in the lurch. I mean, that's a real part of the narrative as well. You can't dismiss that. You know, I agree with you about all of his talent 100%. I'm all in, but.
I mean, in order to be great, you got to break some glass. You know what I'm saying?
It's like the Joker. You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
I mean, you can't, though. You can't.
Should we talk about the Green Bay Packers or no?
I just think it's incredible.
All right. We're going to go to the defense because we've got a hard out, people. We got a hard out today. We can't be late. So let's get to the defense. We're going to talk about Kenny Clark hinting at a new plan up front. A new plan, you say? A new plan from Joe Barry and company? Jerry Montgomery in the lab? A new plan when it comes to defending the run. And I like this idea, Corey. You know where I'm going with this. I got to see it. I've heard stuff before. I've heard that stopping the run is a mentality. I will say, a quote, new plan, that's a new one. I haven't heard that from 1265 yet. So, and it's from Kenny, who's our guy, and I love Kenny. So
I'm all in.
I got to see.
I think I know what the new plan is. I think I know what it is. I think they're going to bring back the Packer Shark.
Get off blocks?
They're going to bring back the Packer Shark. I mean, that's a new plan. Just bring back the Packers Shark. We're good.
I think it's a lot more stunts, but we'll see. Packers Shark could be it. We'll find out. Next up, who steps up at safety, Corey? That's what I want to know. Darnell Savage was benched twice last year. We got Rudy Ford, who lost his job for a good stretch of the summer and then got it back. Who steps up? Is it the young kid? Is it Anthony Johnson Jr., 7th-round pick, who used to play at a 3-safety look back there in college and now is in the pros going, wait, there's only 2 safeties back here? What is this world I'm living in? Who knows? And then, you know, Jonathan Owens, he's still in the mix. Though he had a chance to be a starter and wasn't quite up to snuff. So there's just
Can Christian Watson play safety?
Not with a bad hammy. But, have him play two-way. Why not? Let's do it. I'm just wondering, who steps up? Who steps up at safety?
It is funny.
It doesn't even matter.
It is interesting. It is interesting because if you look at cornerback depth, if you look at DB depth, we're pretty good, you know. But yeah, safety.
Love the corners. Losing Amos, love the corners.
Losing Amos, you lose that leadership. Who's gonna? That's a really powerful role in our defense. And
I'm glad you said that because like this is what it reminds me of. Remember when they let Charles Woodson walk and everyone was like, "Oh, probably getting out a year too early rather than a year too late, which I agreed with. But then Ted's plan post Charles Woodson was like MD Jennings or whatever. Hmm. And it's like, I got a real bad feeling that, yes, I agree with the assessment, if this is actually what it was, that, yep, I thought you could see Adrian Amos take a bit of a step back last year. Not that is entirely his fault. Safety position, you are playing, you know, last line of defense. You're kind of beholden to the structure of the defense and what the corners are doing, etc. But it did seem like Adrian took a bit of a step back. So I understand, okay, let's let him walk, and we will hopefully, you know, develop and or improve at that position. But it sure feels right now, sitting here on the precipice of week one, like we're going to repeat the experiment when we let Charles go. And then we were out there with the, you know, the experiment at safety that was a complete disaster after Woodson walked. So that, I'm obviously not pulling for that, but I'm hoping for
interesting
it.
What you're describing at safety with Charles Woodson reminds me a little bit of what we're doing at center. Interesting. Also, for those of you that
well, they drafted, they used a premium pick on center, at least.
Yeah, they missed. Those of you that are looking at the logo right now, remember when I talked about the cheese head? So that cheese head in the TV on the graphic, I had to change the holes in the cheese on that cheese head. That is an in compliance Fomation cheese head versus an out of compliance one.
Fully compliant.
Just so we can get that full circle.
I will say, for all the questions at safety, holy cow, we actually have depth at edge. I think the first time in forever.
Rookie.
I mean, the idea,
and we got a rookie.
Especially with, we got Brenton Cox there making the squad. I mean, he is just a force, both rushing the passer and against the run. That's key. The fact that he can not only set an edge, but shed a block and make a tackle. Hello, thank you very much. But then, you know, you get Rashawn back, you got Preston on that other side, obviously. All Enigbare, we saw Enigbare kind of flash this summer.
Malik Heath and Enigbare were my favorites. Enigbare is basically KGB2, I'm telling you right now. You look at I said this on Twitter, okay? And then I looked at on Pro Football, whatever it is, reference or whatever, and I looked up KGB's physical stats versus Enigbare's physical stats, and they are almost identical, by the way. It's incredible.
You, Scout. Well, what's up? Corey Banky going to be working at 1265 Lombardi pretty soon. I'm impressed.
No. I also think there's this other thing that's been happening recently that I think is really stupid in media in the NFL. I saw this thing about Mina Kimes. Somebody like posted that, like, oh, she's never played a snap of football.
Oh,
and I was watching this thing.
But that dude's
I was
a
watching
troll.
This thing
He's
about
just a troll.
I know that dude's a troll, but there's this ongoing narrative. Like, you know, on the one hand, you know, the media doesn't respect people like Dion, who actually have proven themselves time and time again that you should not count them out.
Right.
And then on the other hand, it's like, you know, I saw this thing. I watched the little clip about the draft and Mel Kiper, you know, and the GM of the Colts, his whole thing that started like the draft takeoff.
Yeah,
and
who the hell is Mike?
And the GM of the Colts was like, who the hell is Mel Kiper? And he's never played a snap of football. It's like, bro, you know, there's this thing called analytics, and there's this thing of like evaluating talent in numbers that a lot of people who play football are not good at. So it's like it takes all kinds of human beings to play the game of football at all the levels. So I just want to put that out there of like it's such a stupid thing. Like, well, some people will troll me or you or like me where they'll be like, oh, Corey couldn't fight anybody. Dude, I'm a lover, not a fighter, first off. So, you know, I ain't trying to fight nobody. I ain't trying to get my ass kicked. I ain't trying to do nothing. But I do like watching men hit each other, and I like the game of football, but it's just funny to me. Like, it's just funny. People are just funny. Anyway, I know I digress again, but I can't help myself.
It's unfortunate that Mina gets this shit because she's got it. Remember, Jeff Garcia, the former quarterback, went after her. Oh, was that 2 years ago or maybe last year? I mean, it's just absurd because she is, bar none, the best NFL analyst working right now on television, and I do not say that lightly.
She literally,
I did not stutter. She is.
I agree.
100%.
She sees shit. She sees shit that people,
she just
no
sees
one
the
sees.
Game. Yeah. Well, she sees
but
it.
But she
and
sees
knows how
the,
to kind of convey what's happening. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's just, she's so good.
Yep.
And I hate that she gets all this shit. It's so stupid.
I mean, all women get all this stuff, and that's kind of the world we live in, which kind of sucks. But, yeah, I just think it's stupid. It's like it doesn't matter if you played the game. You can have a value to – there are many, many people at 1265 who have made the Green Bay Packers what they are that never played a snap of football, by the way.
Well, and it's my thing. People, whenever they talk about you never played the game, I'm always like, I was never president either, but I know Abraham Lincoln was a good one, and I know who the bad ones were. You know, it's like you don't have to do it to know and to evaluate it. Like, that's so – fucking rudimentary.
Now, I do think there's an enormous value in doing it and conveying how it's done, right? So it's both.
It's a mix.
Too,
yeah. You know? It's a mix. Yeah, you need a mix. You don't have to. That's the point.
Like, I love that John Kuhn's on our platform, right?
Team.
Because, hold on.
Yes.
John Kuhn is on our platform, and that's cool because now Cheesehead TV has somebody who actually played the game talking to people. So, you know, it's not just you and I. That was a little plug for.
Which is
for our new X's
Packers
and O's
playbook.
Show. I hope everybody's watching
just
it. Packers Playbook.
Launched. Dusty Evely and John Kuhn breaking it down. Love it. We got to get Dusty some new gear, and we got to get John a mic. But it's baby steps. Baby steps. They're breaking down tape. It's a lot of fun. Make sure you check it out. Packers Playbook here on the YouTube channel. Special teams, Corey. I only got one note on special teams. Just one note. And I think, speaking of X's and O's and breakdowns and things like that, I talked to Big Mac, a Big Mac Breakdowns, Malcolm over there. We've done a couple rookie watch videos together. He had the perfect summation. He was talking about Anders Carlson, but I think it completely blankets everything we should think about when it comes to these young specialists this year. There's one word that defines the attitude that I'm going to have, and I hope most other Packers fans do as well, and that is grace. We got to have some grace with these young kids who the Packers are clearly invested in, clearly want to help and develop and give amount of time to work through whatever growing pains they are undoubtedly going to have. So, Packers fans, grace. So a little bit of grace is going to go a long way with this young kicker and this young punter. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I don't have any grace to give him. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Franklin Pierce was not.
But if he was undrafted, you'd be fine.
I would have grace for him. Just like I have grace for Malik Heath, but I don't have
grace
for
Brian. But that's Brian. That's on Brian. That's not on the kid.
I don't care. I'm just going to say this out loud before we go to the next segment. Is Franklin Pierce was not the worst president. So, married guy, I don't believe you. I don't agree with you.
Okay? Why are you reading the chat? Why don't
we? Because you talking, you said you knew where good and bad presidents were, so people are commenting on that. So I'm just saying,
and that's fine.
That he's
let
not.
Them comment, and let's go on with the show.
Okay, let's go.
We got a preview, Corey. They play the Bears on Sunday. You know that opening against the Bears. I will say, so much has been talked about when it comes to Jordan Love and Justin Fields and blah blah blah. I think this entire game comes down to the running games for both these teams. It was funny. I mentioned I went back and watched the game in Chicago. Man, A.J. Dillon feasted in that game. He had 119 yards from scrimmage. 93 of them were rushes, 20 rush yardage, 26 in the air, and a touchdown off that left side, damn, which was beautiful, wonderfully blocked. I mean, he had a game against the Bears last time, and I don't see any reason he can't do the exact same thing again on Sunday. I think we talked about Aaron Jones, how good he is, obviously. I think we've heard a lot about Jordan Love and the pass catchers, but man, A.J. Dillon, you want to announce your presence with authority in a contract year? This is the game to do it, because I don't see how the Bears are going to be able to stop him if they commit to him. Then, of course, like I
love how you have to caveat. I love how you have to caveat everything on how if they commit to them. I don't understand. Why does it take Trevor so long to go to the two box? I'm like talking. And I'm like, Trevor, bro, I mean, hello. He like stayed on me forever. I was like, it was uncomfortably long. I think our producer, Trevor, I think he just likes uncomfortably awkward one-shot moments where we're just waiting for the next thing.
Trying to get you to commit, dude. Just trying to get you to commit to a rant. That's what he's trying to do.
You're just lucky
Nicholas isn't here.
Oh, my God. I'd be going off on Nicholas if he's doing the same thing. Nicholas is having him an old time on vacation in Las Vegas. I've been following his snaps.
Oh, hello.
And that boy is he's living large in Las Vegas.
We'll see Nicholas
on the watch party, by the way. I know we're previewing the Bears game, and we're going to have
there
a watch
you go,
party.
There you go.
And
Nicholas the watch party of the
producer.
Bears game. Exactly.
Awesome. I love how you have to caveat if we commit to the run. It's like, okay. in my okay, am I who? I wish we could do a poll. We should do a poll on this thing. Can we do a poll on comments on YouTube? Who do you think is more responsible for the Packers not committing to the run in the last 3 years? Aaron Rodgers or Matt LaFleur?
We'll find out. Oh, starting
I don't
want to
go
Sunday.
Too much because that's a copyright claim.
I was going to say, you will. All right, we got to go. Herbert had 112 scrimmage yards last time and a rush touchdown in the last home game against Green Bay. He is the key for the Bears. Everyone's talking about Justin Fields, who, yes, they have to contain him as a runner. They got to try and make him play quarterback if they can. But Herbert, I think that he's no one's. I mean, legit, I haven't heard anything about this kid. He is the key for the Bears. And like we all know the Packers and the idea of stopping the run is lovely, but are they going to be able to do it? I don't know. And I think Herbert is a big key for the Bears. And if they get him, that kid going, that could be trouble for a Packers team that probably has to then commit a safety. And then, oh, we got one lone safety back there. And who is that? Is that Darnell Savage? He has shown he's not really a center fielder. Is it Rudy Ford? Well, he doesn't really have the speed to make up for stuff that if they get behind him. And then it starts to snowball. And it's funny to me because so much has been said about the quarterbacks for obvious reasons. But to me, it all comes down to the running backs in this game. Well, yeah. We'll see.
Here's what's funny.
All that and both quarterbacks here's the only 500 yards.
Here's the only caveat that I'm going to say to that is then all of a sudden it's Justin Fields' time. I'm here for that. I'm here for it. Because he sucks. He's terrible. He's terrible. How are you the Bears and your level of standard at quarterback is so terrible that you put that kid out to play? How does this happen? How does this happen in the NFL? Is he the worst quarterback in the NFL or is he the second worst quarterback?
No. There
he's bad. He's terrible.
Watch the Cardinals on Sunday. I'll show you a worse quarterback.
He's bad. I think he's my least favorite quarterback since the Jacksonville Jaguars trotted out homeboy that was in a playoff game and I couldn't believe he was like their quarterback.
Blake Bortles?
Oh my God, Blake Bortles is better than Oh my God, if the Bears had Blake Bortles, I'd be more scared than who they have right now. Seriously, if this game is going to rely, that's why you're right. If this game is going to rely on the quarterbacks, we got this one in the bag, homie. We got it in the bag.
That's a good clip, Tyler. Get that one. All right, let's go. Let's do this. It's time.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right, it's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Okay, now we do all that. We do all the dancing and the singing and whatever, but I do want to lead with a very serious note. It's not something that we need to belabor. It's not something I want to really discuss that much, but I do want to point out, you guys know we often highlight stuff from around the blogosphere, other content creators, bloggers, what have you. The folks over at Packers History have a piece entitled Why It Matters That Jordan Love is the Packers' first black starting quarterback to open a season. Even if it doesn't matter to you. I cannot recommend this article enough. Every single Packers fan should read it. The link to this article is in the description of this video on YouTube. Seek it out. It is excellent. Again, I don't need to talk about it. I don't want to belabor it, but everyone should read it. Every single one of you watching, listening, read this article. It is awesome.
I'm going to go
and
read it.
Underline and italicize awesome. Okay. Now with that out of the way, I want to give a shout out to the Crispy Brothers who have been all of a sudden, I have never heard of these guys before until
what's
about
a Crispy
3 weeks
brother?
Ago. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know, but, they're putting out some really fun content. I couldn't play the song that they did. It's called You Started Rick Meyer. It is obviously, you know, it's set to the melody of We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. We can't play that here because we get a content strike and blah, blah, blah. But it is hilarious. I will say, when I first saw, I got tagged in the video, I was like, oh, what is this? And I watched it, and it was fucking hilarious. So shout out to the Crispy Brothers.
What the fuck is a Crispy Brother?
They're doing some fun content. Seek them out and find out. Some fun
stuff.
Maybe
I won't.
Some very fun stuff. Maybe I will, or maybe I won't. Hey, but speaking of content and shout outs, got to give a shout out to our very own Tyler Herrick for producing the very first ever Cheesehead TV radio ad for our beer, Carry the G, which is going to be available statewide through Wisconsin very, 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 very soon. Not quite yet. It's available right now in the Milwaukee area, but in about a week, it's going to be available statewide. And this radio ad is going to be played all across iHeart.
You're going to get sick. If you're in Wisconsin and you listen to iHeart, you're going to get sick of this ad, I hope. Let's go, iHeart.
Let's roll it.
You may not play for your favorite team, but you act like it. Through every snap and every score, whether you're at work or in the grocery store, you're carrying them with you. No, not with a jersey, but with a mindset, so that you're always ready. Ready so that not just on game day, but on any day, you can crack open that ice cold beer. A beer made by fans, for fans. Cheesehead TV and Gathering Place Brewing bring you Carry the G. A delicious and easy drinking cream ale, not just for tailgating, but for everyday life. Now available throughout Wisconsin, so that wherever you go, you can carry the G.
Nice.
Come on, Tyler. That's so good. And by the way, fun note, that is literally Jordan Love going, Grenadine, at the start. Because I first heard it, I was like, is that Aaron Rodgers? Like, we shouldn't, like, probably we should have the new quarterback. And Tyler had, like, had the game and the time stamp. It was like, nope, it's Jordan Love right here. I was like, that's awesome. I love it.
Speaking of Carry the G, so we just found out yesterday that, so last season we did 600 cases of Carry the G, which we were like, holy crap, that was already double what we thought we were going to do. And this season already 1,600 cases have been made for the first round of three batches. So thanks everybody for, you know, I bought in a case here behind me. So, you know, I was responsible for probably like 10 cases. You know.
Yeah, obviously, honestly. Carry the G will be available very, very soon. And speaking of Carry the G, I'm going to tell a real quick story here. There is a YouTuber, a musician, professional musician, who is a YouTuber and does lots of content, blah, 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 who is a huge Packers fan named Jason Fabus. I'm not quite sure how to say the last name, but he reached out to us, I want to say like half a year ago probably at this point. And he was very gung-ho about collaborating. And my first initial thought at that point, like, Carry the G wasn't out. Like, we were in the midst of the kind of off-season. I just kind of thought, like, oh, it'd be great if we had, like, a jingle for Carry the G. And then when he jumped on it, he was like, this is a great idea. Awesome tune. Came up with a great jingle. And then we started working with iHeart on potentially having a radio ad, and then we kind of changed directions and we ended up with the ad you just heard that Tyler produced. But I absolutely love this jingle. We're going to figure out a way, probably maybe here on the YouTube channel, to feature
and watch party too. We'll probably have it on
and watch party and things like that. So this is Jason's just outstanding jingle that he came up with, and shout out to Cody for putting together these great visuals to go along with it here on YouTube. Roll it.
Well, we carry the G wherever we may be, so creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
I love that polka. Polka, polka,
man, that's just,
polka.
That's just so great. That's just great.
I like
so
it.
Jason, shout out, man. You absolutely killed it. And finally, wait, before we get to YouTube comments and what have you, I got to give a shout out to Mason Crosby here in the blogosphere sector for calling out our good old friend Michael Rodney on Twitter, X, what have you, when Rodney was pontificating about why Crosby, you know, isn't getting phone calls, whatever, and Mason Crosby absolutely bodies him. I love it. I love it. What's up, Michael? Good to see you again, buddy. Hope you're doing well.
That guy just...
I'd call him a nemesis, but like, don't you have to be on the same level to be a nemesis?
No, like, he's not a nemesis. He's the definition of thirsty.
Yeah.
He's so thirsty.
Oh, he should have some Carry the G. You should have some Carry the G.
He really should have.
That's it. That's it. That's it for Blogosphere. Let's get to some comments here on the old socials.
All right, let me view the queue. We got Jocelyn. Jocelyn, don't remember last time I felt so little stress before a season. Excited to watch young core grow over 18 weeks. That said, beat the fucking Bears. Jocelyn.
There you go. Jocelyn knows what's up.
Dustin Logan. Dustin, see you on Shadow Lane week 3, Corey. Old fashions. So shout out to Dustin. Dustin actually bought – so Dustin has been a huge fan of the site. And he bought a house on Shadow Lane across the street, kind of over by closer to Oneida.
That's hardcore, man, right there.
He's hardcore, and his house is awesome. He gave me a tour, and it was pretty sweet. So excited to see Dustin on Shadow Lane. Pretty soon, all the Cheesehead TV fans will just be in the west. north of Lambeau area. I believe it's the Lombardi Neighborhood Association, although it hasn't been that for a long time. Chris KG19, thanks for Super Chat. In buffer voice, it's time. Let's get ready for football. Next, Corey, how are you? Go Pack Go, baby. Wait, our receiver. Yeah. I did that 499 justice. Jozik, thanks for the watching from Croatia. Love you guys. I just thought that was good to give some Croatian love. There's you know, I've actually got a
Packers fans worldwide, baby.
I've got a Croatian Packer fan t-shirt that somebody sent me. It might have been him, but
I do too.
Massimiliano Margagliati. I always fuck that up. Thanks for Super Chat. No matter what, go Pack Go. Thanks guys for all you do here. Thank you, Massimiliano. We got Overshadow Sean. Thanks for Super Chat. Hell yeah. Don't know what that's in response to. I'm going to assume that.
General hell yeah.
Okay. Joe Mailman. Everybody is overlooking Touré in this situation. Good point. We did not bring up Touré.
I don't know.
I'm not a huge Touré fan. I'm going to be honest with you.
It's not even just not being a fan. It's just like. There's nothing dynamic about his game, and that doesn't mean that he can't be effective and efficient catching the football, moving the chains, what have you. But it's not like he's an explosive player, and I understand he had the big touchdown against Buffalo last year. No doubt about it, he can play. The guy can play. But if you're drawing up plays, it's not like you're drawing plays up for Touré, most likely. Who knows? Maybe Touré will catch a 90-yard bomb, look like Robert Brooks against the Bears. I'm all for it.
Yeah, maybe. I think a rap song would have been better. That's funny. Carl Van Beckham, thanks for Super Chat. It was refreshing to hear Leroy Butler with Spoon talk about how the air was sucked out of the rooms when 12 was in them, and now it's about team.
Pretty amazing candor from Leroy. Pretty much since the entire kind of Rodgers, like, for lack of a better word, drama started at the end of the last season throughout the trade and now into this new season, Leroy's been pretty damn honest and kind of unvarnished in his public opinions, and I appreciate it, man. I like Leroy has not pulled any punches in that regard, and I think it's significant to have him say that, and I very much agree. It was nice of him to feel confident enough to talk about it in that venue. Definitely.
Well, I appreciate Carl allowing me to open this door that I quickly should close on myself and not talk about it. But
right.
You do not have to be a fan of the Green Bay Packers to look and see the contrast of last season versus the Jets season so far this year, as far as outward social media, things, mm-hmm. right? So right. takes a pay cut, is training and teaching young guys, is all about going out with the young guys, is, you know, yeah, he's yelling at people like he always does, but, you know, you see him like training and coaching up. Like, there's a huge contrast with what we did last year and what there is this year. And, you know, I think the bigger thing, instead of like me pointing blame or being bitter about it, which I'm not really, but is to look at it and go, it was time. Like, even if you are an Aaron Rodgers fan, it was time. And it's so clear it was time. Look, if you watch any of the Hard Knocks stuff or you watch anything that goes on in the media and just the vibe, it clearly was time. So, yeah, it's time
totally,
all around.
Totally agree. Totally agree there. No doubt.
Emmett, Corey and Nags, y'all got a shout out on the recent Purple Daily episode right around the 28:15 mark. Check it out. I'm scared. What is Purple Daily?
I got I got nothing but trepidation, but I'll check it out.
It's Purple Daily. I kind of want to know what they said. Wait, is Douche Matouche on that?
Paul Allen? No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I love how I can just say something random and you immediately know what I'm talking about.
I know what
that's
you're
like
talking
the greatest.
About,
that's the
I've known
like
you
Blake Bortles.
For
you pulled Blake
years,
Bortles out of your ass, bro. Like I wish my girlfriend could. I literally wish my girlfriend could translate what I'm trying to say as well as you. Like that's it's a God-given
30
talent.
Years, baby. 30 years of friendship.
Brandy, want to give a shout out to Brandy for everything you do, Brandy, for Cheesehead TV. Appreciate you. Love having you.
Love you, Brandy.
As part of the team.
Your hubby's
is
okay,
that
too.
New? Yeah, your hubby's all right. Is that new Carry the G, Corey? No, this is old. And here's the thing, Brandy. So here's a little tidbit for some of you fans, how you can tell. Old Carry the G only has cheese. Ooh, I need to get that in focus. On the top here. So on the top, old Carry the G has only Cheesehead TV logos, but new Carry the G, we added the Gathering Place logo. So same can, but there's Gathering Place logo. So, and some people like Aaron Nagler, we won't name names around here, actually threw away some cans, old cans. So now recycling is throwing it away. They're not going to get recycled as Carry the G cans. So now people are there are 10 cans that getting recycled that I can't sell on eBay. So thanks, Aaron Nagler. Ryan Miller, thanks for Super Chat. Anything about the Packers captains or any predictions from you guys?
I saw this. Okay, Ryan, I love you. I appreciate the support. I thank you for engaging in the channel. Why do people give a shit about the captains thing? I never have. I never will. I don't care. And I guess some people do and are very interested in it. It's a thing in the locker room. It's about the guys. It's what they have voted on and want to. They're not doing it for PR purposes. So it's like,
yeah, but it's cool. I like to know. It's good to know who the leaders on the team.
Why?
Who the team thinks the leaders are. It's fascinating. It's inside baseball. I like it.
Is it?
Also, whoever said Paul Allen. Okay, someone seriously.
Oh, I knew it. I was really hoping you missed that.
Someone said Paul Allen is great. Okay, whoever fucking put that, unsubscribe, unlike, go away. Goodbye. Bye-bye. There is no way you can think Paul Allen is great and be a fucking Packer fan, okay? I'm not trying to gatekeep here, but I'm just saying. Let's be, come on now.
You're trying to gatekeep a little bit.
No, I'm not trying to gatekeep. I'm just saying that it's almost impossible. I do not see a Venn diagram where I like Paul Allen and I am a Packers fan exist in the middle. It's not happening, people. Come on, let's be real. It's got to be a Viking fan. So I'm gonna leave it alone. I'm not gonna let it go. Tonezilla, thanks for Super Chat. Tequila Old Fashioned should be a thing for this season for happy hour. Oh, and Musgrave is going to absolutely dominate this season.
Let's go, Musgrave.
I like your thinking.
I like Musgrave
there.
A lot.
I think we need to do a tequila old fashioned. Tequila is really an underrated drink for an old fashioned. A tequila old fashioned would be really good. I have to think about, you know, you want to kind of spice it up a little bit, but not make it too spicy. And you also like, I want to figure out what is the comfort, you know, if like, what's the comforting thing to offset the tequila. But that I like it. I like where you're going with that.
Most hated Minnesotan, thanks for being a Carry the G Club member, and thanks for the chat. We appreciate the gatekeeping on this one. I mean, he's behind enemy lines, so he knows. He knows what's up.
Randon Swearingen, Carry the G in kegs. I'm glad you asked this. We are going to have limited release kegs, and we're actually making tap handles for Carry the G, which are really cool. I'm really excited about them. They're going to be in the style of the can, so it's basically going to be like a tap handle of the can, but it's going to Brent designed them differently, so you can see them Carry the G man on all three sides. It's really cool. And so the idea is hopefully 2 locations in Green Bay to be determined, and then 20 or so locations in Milwaukee.
It's going to be very
cool.
What
we got here? Nicholas Miles, thanks for Super Chat. What is the closest well-known beer Carry the G compares to by taste? I'm in New Jersey, so I have no access. So it is a cream ale. So really, I like to compare it to Spotted Cow. I mean, not only because Spotted Cow is the greatest beer in Wisconsin. So, you know, there's that. But, you know, they are very similar. A lot of people started by calling Spotted Cow a farmhouse ale. That's how New Glarus started calling it. And now I believe they've gotten rid of cream ale, but it is a cream ale. So very similar to Spotted Cow. I like to say it's Spotted Cow. It's just got a little bit different kind of flavor taste at the end and in the middle notes. And I'm not a beer connoisseur, so that was a terrible description of our beer. What do you think, Nagler?
Yeah, I think you're right. It feels just ever so little more bitter than Spotted Cow does. Like Spotted Cow is so buttery, and like that, like Care of the G has got similarities, but there's just a little bitterness in the aftertaste that I like. And it like feels a little more beer. It tastes
yeah,
like,
and that's what, by the way,
everyone who's tasted it has said. Like it's yeah. definitely like, it's funny too, because like everyone who tastes it is like, okay, I think this is going to suck because it's Cheesehead TV and these guys don't know what the hell they're doing. But let me tell you, yeah. Gathering Place has never made a bad beer. And this shit is so good.
It's like, yeah, that's the thing.
I'm
we didn't
always
make
like
the beer.
We shocked that we are involved with it.
We picked the beer. Yeah. Well, and the other thing is there's no cream in cream ale. It's one of these kind of weird misnomers. There's no cream. There's no right. dairy. I couldn't have it. Pogs
has it right.
Yeah.
A bit more hoppy. It is a bit more hoppy.
I was going to say that. That's well put. Carl Van Beckham, thanks for Super Chat. Really looking forward to checkdowns this season. Yeah.
Love me some checkdowns, baby. Let those guys work in space. Let's go. I'm all in.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm all in on checkdowns. Overshadow Sean, one more general hell yeah. I appreciate you, Overshadow. you can always depend on Overshadow for the hell yeahs.
He's there for us, baby.
Chris KG19, will there ever be a possibility getting Carry the G in the New York tri-state area, or are you guys going the Spotted Cow route, sticking to Wisco only? That is a great question, Chris. So our plan for this season was to try to get it all over the state of Wisconsin because we got so many requests all over Wisconsin, La Crosse, you name it, Waukesha. I could name up all the cities in Wisconsin and still not name all the ones we got requested. So we're going to try to have some border towns as well. So, you know, River Falls comes to mind, you know, where there's Wisconsin towns that are a little bit closer to the other states. And then next year, our plan is... Yeah, state lines, crossing those state lines. So, and then our next plan next year is potentially go, you know, somewhat national, but really what we want to focus on is where our fans are. And so, you know, we really want to get it nationally because we understand that, you know, 60 to 70% of the people that follow Cheesehead TV, kind of like us growing up, they don't live in the state of Wisconsin. So we'd love to get it there. And we do have a plan too, but let's see, we need it to go well again this year. And then we'll have the receipts again to show, and then, you know, hopefully get a national partner. And I think that's the goal.
Distributor and yeah.
I feel our problem right now is going to be keeping the beer in stock, because we've already seen that where we put an initial run out in Milwaukee, and Mike Malone, awesome drummer in Northeast Wisconsin, he literally tweeted a empty shelf, and they put it there like 5 days before, and I told him it was there. Right. So I think that's going to be our hardest problem, because we do have two of the biggest distributors in Wisconsin running with the product, and we've been really, you know, the marketing and everything else, and a lot of people haven't tried it yet. So that's what's fascinating to me, is like 600 cases sounds like a lot until, like, I mean, Jersey Al hasn't tried it. And that's my fault, honestly. I'm sorry, yeah. Jersey. I just want to say that. That's on me. But there's a lot of people who haven't tried the beer, and we want to get it to as many people as possible, obviously.
We got super chats piling up, and we got a hard out for our producers, so let's go.
Sorry. Al Ryder, carry the G at 19-19 this year. Ooh, I'm not going to say yes, but I'm not going to say no.
We're so close. That's the plan. We got to cross some T's, dot some I's, but that is the plan.
If you really care, just go contact at Packers. Just contact the Packers and be like, I really need Carry the G.
Contact 1919.
Yeah, 1919. Be like, I really need Carry the G.
Say, I really want Carry the G. I'm going to be there this
year. Okay, three more.
Tell them you want it.
Andrew Ware, beating the Bears, so easy a caveman could do it. Go Pack, go. The Bears will always and forever suck. Aaron, congrats on the new venture. Your words meant a lot to me as a new father. Andrew, thank you for being a fan, and thank you for your super chat. I really appreciate it. Leonardo Rodriguez, thanks for Super Chat. Hi, from Costa Rica. Great to have transplants again. Now it's truly football season again. Love all your work, guys. Thank you. Go Pack Go. Thank you, Leonardo. Really appreciate
that. Thank you,
Costa Rica. Terrible place to be right now. God. Jerry Sturzinger, I'm looking forward to less snapping of the ball at the 1 second time on the clock. You and me both. Although you never know what Jordan learned, right? Like, you never know what Jordan learned.
What he might have
learned
away, some, exactly.
You know, I don't know.
We'll see.
Andrew H., thanks for Super Chat. Beloit, right on the state line of Illinois. Yeah, and I think Kenosha's not far, right, from Illinois.
Kenosha is probably as close as we're going to get this season, but we'll see.
Yeah, we might be in Beloit. You never know. Is there like a bodega in Beloit that we should be hitting? Let us know. Also, here's the thing, you guys. We are distributing throughout the whole state. So if you ever want to hit us up on Twitter or contact at Cheesehead TV and you want to see the beer in a location, we can forward the marketing and the social. And, you know, what we really ask is when you do buy the beer, just try to hit it up on social, because that's going to, you know, drive the engine for us telling our distributors, hey, it needs to be in Beloit. I got three people that need it in Beloit. And once we have the receipts, they'll do the rest of the work. So thanks for your support 100%. On the beer and on the site and everything that you guys do. You guys are the reason that we're here, and it's pretty incredible.
Speaking of, shout out to Patreon members. You guys are the engine, the lifeblood of what we do here at Cheesehead TV. You guys have been there basically just before the pandemic and then really kind of made this a going concern. We cannot thank you guys enough. Everyone here on YouTube who is a member of the Carry the G Club, you guys are phenomenal. If you haven't hopped on board yet, it's a lot of fun on the watch parties. You get kind of preferential treatment. You get the ability to put your chat up there basically in front of everybody else. You get special emojis featuring Corey and myself. Your name is highlighted. It's a lot of fun. Carry the G Club members, thank you so much for the support. Corey, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No, excited for the season. Excited for Sunday. Join us on Watch Party this Sunday. We will be there, and we will be ready to watch the Bears get their ass handed to them.
They most certainly still suck. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants Live. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.